Good morning. Please turn to number 361, 361, and your voices together hymnal. Please stand as we sing.
Good morning, all, and welcome to Salford. It's so good to see all of you here together in all your lovely colors. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Today, amidst the gorgeous natural beauty of the spring flowers, we celebrate our risen Christ. As the natural world around us awakens and blooms, may our souls awaken anew to the great hope that we have in Jesus. His victory over death and the grave gives us our hope for eternal life someday, yes, and also hope for restoration and renewal now as we live into the kingdom of God. May we trust in the love that conquered death as we are bringing our wounded bodies, relationships, and our needs to the resurrected Christ. Please take your bulletin and turn it over and join me in the call to worship that's on the back. When we finish, we will pass the peace with those around us. When it is still dark, we come seeking Jesus. The stone has been rolled away, walls torn down. The burial cloth removed, his body transformed.
The risen Christ is here among us.
Mary Magdalene, Simon Peter, and John see and believe. We find the risen Christ among us, who has made all things new. The tomb is empty. The way of love has prevailed. Peace be with you.
I'd invite you to remain standing and sing together number 346. Number 346. And as we remain standing, we will sing 333. Unless you just want to pop up on the refrain.
If you didn't know what day it was, now we do. Sounded great. I'd like to call the ushers forward for offering time. Keep in mind that any dollar bills or change that you put in goes to the children's offering, and periodically they let us know what they decide to do with that offering. So it's always exciting. Also, if you would remember to please pass the friendship pads and let us know that you're here. We have a special treat for you today. We have Kylie Krim, who will be singing The Risen Christ for our offertory. So if you would like to follow along with the words, it's number 345 in your hymn book, if you want to find that quick before we pray. Let's pray. Lord, you have given everything for us. Thank you for your blessings, for your love, and for the way that you have poured out your grace in our lives. Be with us now as we take a little bit of what we have and give back. I ask that you bless each person here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Now I would like to invite the children to come forward for children's time. Welcome, welcome. If you could sit down here on the line. If y'all could sit down here on the line, I would appreciate it. Oh, we've got a big circle. I tried to make the circle wider this morning, and it's still too small. There's a little more space up here. You want to come here? You can. Thank you. Wow. You can sit there, Emmy, or right there, Ella. Here, Jake, could you scoot over a little bit? Yeah, you can sit right here. Great. It is so good to see all of you this morning. And we're going to tell the last story of the faces of Jesus. So let's get ready. Could you help Magda? Here is the baby with the mother Mary and the father Joseph. Here is the boy who was lost and then found in the temple. Here is Jesus the man who asked his cousin John to baptize him in the Jordan River. Here's Jesus in the desert when the evil one tempted him, but Jesus chose to follow what God wanted him to do. Here is when Jesus began his work to heal people and to tell parables. Here is where Jesus celebrated the last meal with his friends. He told them when they eat the bread and drink the cup, they would remember him. And then the soldiers came and took him away. That night was a confusing one. The next day, Friday, in the morning, Jesus was taken outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem and crucified on the cross. That afternoon, Jesus died. The sky turned very dark, and here you can see the crown of thorns on his head. Jesus' friends came and took his body down from the cross and laid it in a new cave. They rolled a huge stone over the opening of the cave to close it like a door. Saturday must have been the quietest day the earth has ever known. It was so quiet, you could almost hear the earth breathing. And then it was Sunday. On Sunday, it was the women who had the courage to go to the tomb to be close to Jesus. They wanted to remember, even if it was sad. When they came to the tomb, they saw the stone had been rolled away and the opening, and the tomb was empty. Jesus had died on a cross, but somehow he was still with them, as he is today. When you look at this side, you know that this side is here. And when you look at this side, you see that this side is still here. You cannot pull them apart. You cannot have one without the other. This is the mystery of Easter. And so the colors change. This is so beautiful. It's really, really wonderful. But there's something that's not quite right about this. See, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. Look, if we only had this side, it truly would be an end. But we also have this side. The ending is also a beginning, so we can't leave the story in a line. Let's see what we can do. That's better. Now this story can go on forever. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this Easter mystery, which says that love is bigger than death and goes on forever. Amen.
Now it's time for our prayer of rejoicing. I'm rejoicing at all of the children we were able to have here today with us. For those of you who did not receive the communication from the church this week, I'll remind us that our rejoicing in part this week is over our 1 year anniversary. Tuesday, March 26th. Was our 1 year anniversary of Salford adopting our new welcome statement. You've seen some visual changes in our spaces, and there will be more changes to come. We are well led by our welcoming path team and thankful for them. So as we celebrate this anniversary and today being Resurrection Sunday, I'd like to offer this prayer that is written by Alyssa Bender in honor of International Transgender Day of Visibility, if you'd pray with me. Holy Creating One, you are the God who calls us by new names. You are the one who sends dreams of unimagined futures. You are the Word that became flesh and lived among us, beside us, and for us. We give you thanks for your diverse creation that is constantly giving us glimpses of who you are. We give you thanks for all that we learn about you through your beloved ones, those who are transgender and gender nonconforming, those who dance with your spirit beyond the binary of gender. We thank you for those who have claimed new names, those who have dreamed new futures, those for whom word and flesh have taken on new life among us, beside us, and for a truer picture of all that you have called us to be as your people. May we seek out such stories of faith, hear their words of challenge, echo these lives of transformation, and love as you love, both our neighbors and ourselves, as you call us and dream for us and make your word alive in us. Amen.
Turn, please, to 347, and please stand as we sing. We will add on verse 5 there at the bottom.
To say, glory, hallelujah. Morning. Our scripture, as noted in the bulletin, is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stood, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in another place by itself. Then the other disciple, whom came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus was laid. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her.
Just a quick commercial while I have a full house this morning. Sermon this morning and the text that we are in are actually the beginning of a new series of messages from mostly the Gospel of John. We are going to be going back, starting next week, into this year-long emphasis that we have on centered set church and being centered in Jesus. And you will see as the weeks unfold how the sermon this morning will connect as we go back into John and gradually catch up to where we are this morning. So you might want to be looking forward to that. Back in preaching class when I was in seminary 1 or 2 years ago, they told us to study the context of the passage of scripture that we were going to be preaching on if we wanted to be really prepared to really just to preach on the text. And I've always tried to take that seriously, And this week, I was doing that again, looking at the verses that are before the verses that Steve just read. And I almost got stuck on those verses a little bit, enough so that I want to talk about them for just a few minutes before I come to the text itself this morning. So I want to take you back to John chapter 19, and I'm going to begin with verse 38 and just read a few verses prior to the passage that we just heard. Now, as we come to this passage, it is Friday night and or evening, and Jesus has just died. That's where we are as we pick up these words. After these things, that is, after the crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. There were quite a few secret disciples when Jesus was crucified. Temporarily, all of the 12 had become secret disciples. Those 12 men were all hiding out. And there were a good number of other secret disciples as well, including the two that are referred to here. When Jesus died, according to John's telling of the story, there were four women at the cross. Three of them were named Mary, and the fourth one is not named according to the text. John also says that there was one man there who is unnamed, and a lot of people think that he's putting himself into the text there, that it's really John, but we're not sure about that. But everybody else stayed away. Once Jesus was dead, and a lot of the crowd had begun to drift away, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus come and ask for permission to bury the body. John tells us that Joseph of Arimathea is a secret disciple. Both Joseph and Nicodemus stood to lose a lot if they were outed as disciples. They were both leaders in what we might call today the denomination. They were well off financially, and they had a great deal of respect in the community. And all that would be gone if they became known as followers of Jesus. So they waited until a lot of people drifted off, and then they asked for permission, and they showed their respect for Jesus by burying him later. The Catholic Church today names Joseph and Nicodemus as saints, but I think it's best to say that they were risk-averse saints. I think that's the best thing that we can say about them. They wanted to follow Jesus, but they had a lot to protect, so they stayed in the shadows. And come Sunday morning, they were nowhere to be found. Only Mary Magdalene was there at the moment when Jesus first appeared on Easter morning. Most of us, if we're really honest, would say that we balance faith and risk in our lives. We love everything about Jesus. We really do. We sang all those songs this morning from the depths of our hearts, and we truly love them because we truly love Jesus. And at the same time, we want to hold on to parts of our lives that we fear that if we're too radical in our expression of our faith, we might lose. A job we worked hard to get, a home that we love, a kind of respect in the community that it's taken us years to build up. We talk a really good game of discipleship, but we also have a lot to lose if we're too much disciples. And when we live that way, we miss a lot. We won't be the ones meeting Jesus in person at the empty tomb. Maybe at best, we'll be the ones burying him on Friday night. Am I being too abstract with some of this? Let me make it a little more personal and say it this way. I like to think of myself as a risk taker. In fact, sometimes I think I'm proud of some of the risks I've taken in life. I've done some things with my life and in my life that are absolutely foolish, some of you would say. I've jumped out of an airplane. I've gotten into an Indianapolis car, strapped myself in, and ridden 160 miles an hour. Okay. So I've taken a few risks. I've taken one or two risks professionally along the way. Left one job that paid more for one that paid less because I wanted the job. Started a church, you know, because you don't know how that's going to go. But the bottom line is that I've never taken that many risks. And for the most part, when push has come to shove, I've taken the thing with more money. I've taken the thing that gives more status and gives more respect. I'm not that good at risk. So now maybe you get what I'm talking about. I want it both ways. And many of us do too. I had a friend years ago who told me once in a moment of being extremely confessional, what I really want to figure out in life is how to do the least I possibly can as a disciple and still get into heaven. There is so much bad theology in that sentence, I don't even know where to begin. And yet the fact that we laugh at it says that there's a little bit of that in us. Let me have it as safe and predictable as I can. But let me still be able to convince myself that I'm an all-out disciple. All right, well, this is Easter, and I'm digressing a little bit here. I'm supposed to talk about the empty tomb. I'm getting there. We started with Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus burying Jesus. We went on to Mary Magdalene, and I've been making it sound so far as though Joseph and Nicodemus are the bad guys and Mary Magdalene is the good guys. But actually, that itself is kind of a misread of the story. Mary has more faith than the men in the story. There's no question about that. But she doesn't have all faith. The angels ask Mary, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And Mary responds, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they put him." And later, again, when Jesus comes and she doesn't recognize him, and he asks her a similar question, she gives him a similar answer. Just tell me where you put the body. That tells us where Mary is at this point. It's the body of Jesus that she's looking for. It's not the risen Jesus. Jesus told Mary, told the other disciples multiple times he would be risen. But even Mary isn't yet at the place where her faith says he's risen. As of this moment in the story, there is nobody, nobody who has gospel faith, resurrection faith. Not even the most risk-taking disciple in the story. What this tells us, I think, is that the message of Easter is not the message that Jesus died and rose for the best disciples. Not that he rose only for the disciples who are the most radical or who have taken the most risks. The Easter message is not that you are lost and condemned because you are rich or white or compromised or male. The Easter message is not that you are saved because you are poor or black or queer or female. Jesus loved the oppressed. No question about that. But the message is not that one is saved and the other is lost. The message of Easter is that no matter who you are, he died for you on Friday. And no matter who you are, he rose for you on Sunday. That's the gospel. And just like Mary, Jesus stands before each one of us this morning and speaks to us by name. To Mary, he said, Mary. To you, he says your name. Can you hear him? Can you see him through your tears? If you do, then like Mary, go out from here today and tell the others, I have seen the Lord. Happy Easter.
Number 341, 341, please stand as we sing.
Those are already there. Let us sing praise to him.
Now we come to our time of congregational prayer. And here at Salford, our prayer is our sharing, and our sharing is our prayer. So in a moment, we will have people with microphones ready to receive your joys and your prayer requests. And at the end of each, I will say in prayer, "Resurrected Lord," and you will respond, "Hear our prayer." So people, do you have requests or joys to share today?
Hi, good morning. I'm Miles Musselman. This is just a prayer of thanks and joy in the spirit of this morning for everyone who shared an email, text, side conversation coming out of some of the sharing I did about my mother last week. So it meant a lot to me. I'm very thankful for this community and for all of the encouragement that you've given to me, and obviously what we all do for each other every day, week, year. So I think a big prayer of thanks for this group and joy for who you are.
Rejoicing at the blessing of this community, resurrected Lord, hear our prayer. We have several needs to bring before the Lord this morning, so join me as we pray. Lord, we come to you today, and we thank you for your many blessings, and we trust you for the many things that we face in this life that we may not understand or see the end of, but you hold all in your hands. Today, for Vince Casarano, who spent some time in Grandview Hospital this week with a kidney stone, resurrected Lord, hear our prayer. For Dave Oliver, who is continuing rehab and recovery from a stroke, also in Grandview Hospital, resurrected Lord, hear our prayer. For Marvin Anders, who is finally home in Pennsylvania and is recovering and waiting on test results from the cardiologist, resurrected Lord, hear our prayer. For Lois Wismer, who is adjusting to her new move to Phoebe Care Home in Richland Town. Please keep her and Lowell in your prayers at this time of transition. Resurrected Lord, hear our prayer. And with all Mosaic congregations, we are invited to pray for Bally in Pennsylvania and Bethany, Bridgewater Corners, Vermont, as they search for pastor, interim pastor, respectfully, and to help minister to the congregation and in the community. Lord, for this time of transition, resurrected Lord, hear our prayer. Go with us today, Lord, as we continue to celebrate, spend time with friends and family and in your presence. Thank you so much for your gift of your spirit to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
you'll allow me just one more second to see a full house this morning. You know how good this feels for a pastor, just to see this whole place. This is wonderful. couple other announcements before we conclude the service, and you all go, most of you anyway, to your ham dinners. There is no second hour after the service this morning, just in case anyone had forgotten that. Next week is Communion Sunday, so just a word for each of us to be preparing our hearts and be preparing for the Lord's Supper next Sunday morning. And the third announcement involves the service opportunities in the handout that's in the bulletin, the central piece here. There are several ministry teams here at Salford that are looking for friends to help us in the congregation. So if you could just look at each one of these and ask yourself the question, could I serve there? And if possible, check this and put it in the offering basket that's at the back in the foyer before you leave. Let's stand together and turn to number 1052. Number 1052. Responsive reading that is also our benediction this morning. And if you want to put your finger in there for just a second and then turn also to number 340, that will be our closing song, number 340. Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace. Go be peace.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace. Prepare the way.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.
Go in peace. Rejoice in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Jesus has cheered.